Your home for classic hits, AM 1570, 96.9, and Boom 102.7 FM, WILO, Frankfort, Lebanon, Delphi.
And they're off. Look at that speed, that style, that weight. What's that behind the pace car?
It's a cargo trailer from TC Trailers, and it's crushing the competition in storage, value, and sheer trailer goodness.
TC Trailers has over 300 trailers on the lot. Haulers, goosenecks, concessions, everything but the checkered flag.
Need a pit stop? TC's got full in-house repair shop, parts store, and financing that'll have you back on track faster than a tire change.
Zoom over to tc-trailers.com or cruise out to State Road 28 East to Frankfort. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields, and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
When it comes to keeping your car running right, trust the team that's got your back, Big O Tires. Located on State Road 39 in Lebanon, Big O does it all. Oil changes, alignments, tire rotations, brakes, and more. Whether you're prepping for a road trip or just tackling that overdue maintenance, the certified technicians at Big O Tires will get the job done right the first time. Check them out on Facebook for exclusive deals and updates. Next time your vehicle needs a little love, head over to Big O Tires in Lebanon and talk to manager Lauren and owner Alan. Big O Tires is the team you trust.
I can see your future. Sometime in the next month, you'll go out to eat again. Jenny here. The Big Deals online store can make your future even brighter with restaurant gift certificates. There's something for everyone. They spend just like cash and never expire, so you can buy them now and use them whenever you want. Shop anytime, save all the time. The Big Deals online store.
Just click on the Big Deals tab at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, BoonCountyDailyNews.com, or CarrollCountyDailyNews.com.
Join HoosierlandTV.com as we celebrate the class of 2026 with live coverage of the Frankfort Crossing High School graduation ceremony. Watch as students take the next big step toward their future on Saturday, June 6th at 10 a.m. Family, friends, and community members can share in this special milestone from wherever they are with exclusive coverage on HoosierlandTV.com. Congratulations to the graduating class of Frankfort Crossing High School. Graduation coverage brought to you by Wampler Services Incorporated.
The road to state continues tonight as the Clinton Prairie Gophers battle Riverton Park in the IHSAA Softball Regional. Join Sam and Kyle for all the action with pregame coverage beginning at 6:15 and first pitch to follow. Can the Gophers keep their championship run alive? Find out live on AM 1570 and 96.9 WILO and Boone 102.7. Regional softball coverage of Clinton Prairie versus Riverton Park right here on your hometown sports station. Brought to you by the Farmers Bank Davis Comfort Solutions and Wampler Services Incorporated.
All right. We've gone to the jungle. We've been talking about dinosaurs and a little bungle in the jungle, Jethro Tull. You remember that one there, Tom?
Vaguely.
Yeah, vaguely. I wasn't a big Jethro Tull fan, so.
I like the flute, but that was bad.
Yeah, he had some obscure things going on there. I think he maybe burned out a little bit on some substances. Hey, it is Party Line, WILO on a Tuesday. Shan Sheridan with you. Joined now in studio by Tom Jameson, a good friend of mine he's a utility.
Utility
You're a
player.
Rover. Well, I was trying to say utilitarian, but then I thought, well, that kind of sounds almost like a religion.
I don't want
you to be a utilitarian. Well, utilitarian.
I like to think of myself as a servant.
Yeah, Rover. Okay, there you go.
I'm just here to serve and
so,
wherever I can help.
So Tom is our SHARP director for those who do not know what SHARP is, Tom.
SHARP is the Senior Homeowner Assistance for Repair Program that the city and county and Farmers Bank partner together to access funds through the Federal Home Loan Bank of Indianapolis to allow senior homeowners to get rehabilitative work done on their homes. It is a grant, so it functions through a grant season. So my caveat right at this moment is we are deep in it and there is no more space left. So everything that I talk about regarding SHARP is simply reporting and not inviting, unfortunately, at this time. But it's been a great program. This is our 10th year. We are over 200 households served, and we'll be tipping over $2 million that we've been able to bring into the Frankfort-Clinton County homes to help homeowners keep their home in great shape.
Well, it's you're helping the homeowner, you're helping the people that live there, the residents, but it's rehabilitating the home.
And keeping home values up, yeah, and helping neighborhoods, and it's win-win-win. We try to use local contractors and support and encourage their growth and activity.
And then you're also the facilities director, operations director for the Iron Block for the Chamber of Commerce, and that keeps you pretty busy.
On the square in Frankfort, yeah, that beautiful building that has, over the last year, that we've been open on the second floor now.
Yep.
So the building's fully functional. We've had just an incredible opportunity to serve different organizations see some incubation of businesses, yep, and meet new people. Yeah.
I would say there's probably been at least double-digit organizations now.
Yeah, I haven't counted. I would say over 20, actually.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Probably closer to 20 have come in and used the facility for their – I was talking to one of the Coach Kids board members last night at the ribbon cutting for Nickel and Rye, and it was telling us they were just so appreciative of being able to, because they've outgrown their smaller conference room, so the opportunity of being able to partner with Coach Kids and bringing, they've had multiple other meetings, organizational meetings, organization meetings, and then, of course, committee meetings on a variety of different boards. So that was why it was built. That's why we did it.
It's so neat to see the building functioning as it was envisioned.
Yes. Iron Block, SHARP, that keeps you busy. And you live over in West Lafayette, so
you live over
in the jungle. Because that's a crazy
SK
town.
Hynek's jungle right at the moment.
The SK Hynek.
The construction that's going
and
on.
And the roads, I mean, they're building roads. They are they've got the roundabouts. I know people really love to hear that, but Lafayette's going to be roundabout. They're going to be just about as many as Carmel coming up. But I will tell you, I don't have a problem with it because I was through there the other day and it was like zip. I didn't have to wait a light and it was awesome.
When it's done correctly, it's a great alternative to four ways.
Yeah, absolutely. So we talk a little bit about those things, but where you live now. But you started your journey in life way back east.
I am a Northeasterner. Both Cindy, my wife, and myself come from New York State, but our lineage is through New England.
Yeah.
And so for the first 40 years of our lives, that was home for us in the Northeast, and we lived in New York, in Pennsylvania, in Massachusetts, and it kind of grew up in that whole context. When I moved here to the Midwest, I remember it was so funny. People were showing us houses, and someone said, "This one was built in 1898.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm used to buildings from the 1600s.
You're right. I remember, Chris and Crystal Reichert had a home in the Boston area, and they were, I was talking to them one day, and they had a home. I think it was like 1669.
My niece and nephew live in a home in Salem, Massachusetts that has quite a lineage to it.
So you grew up in that, but it was not only just the Northeast, and it's not only just those old houses, but you grew up in some really vibrant, rich history. I mean, it is the history of our country.
School field trips to American Revolution battlefields.
Yeah.
And, going to Boston, going to Philadelphia, just being, within a few hours of the cradle of democracy and seeing all those things. I took it for granted. Now living here in Indiana, it's like, wow,
it's a 12-hour drive now.
That's really neat.
Right.
To have that so close and so accessible.
Yeah, to think about, as we're celebrating 250 years of America. Mm-hmm. That's just the birthing of America, but really it started longer before, long before, like you mentioned, in the 1600s when the Puritans came over, the Pilgrims were coming over, and you know, Plymouth Rock, and but that whole eastern seaboard and that area of the country just speaks and sings and shouts history of where did it all start. What were some of the things that you mentioned, field trips? What were some were some of those things that you liked?
I'm sitting here, I kind of regret, I'm not a history buff quite at your level. I know you love history, and I was more enamored with the seafood on the East Coast.
Me too. I like history. Let's have some seafood and talk history.
That'd but be my, my parents were very good about that, and my grandparents especially, because our both sides of my family came through Nova Scotia. And that quite early in the 1700s, prior to the Revolution, and so there were some things that actually pertained to our family that we would do. We had the Jameson family homestead.
That's English, right? Jameson.
Jameson. So we're Scott Irish English. Yes.
Okay.
We came from
a mixed brood,
Ulster area in Ireland, but. Scottish heritage there, and then the Jameson is pure English. But we have the Jameson family homestead in Dunbarton, New Hampshire, and actually just in the last, gosh, I guess in the last 15 years, the original homestead was torn down. It was on a sharp curve in a road that there was about a 2-foot shoulder, and cars would hit the corner of the house.
Oh, wow.
it was an old tavern at some point. But, seeing that kind of history that, that not only speaks to the founding of America, but, our family and going to cemeteries and gravesites and things like that, which I remember doing a lot of that, just seeing cemeteries and seeing the old historic places. But, growing up, we grew up in the Hudson Valley in New York. So that's eastern New York, north of New York City, about 100 miles, rich in history, not just Woodstock, which is where Cindy and I are from. That's ancient history for a lot of people, 1969. But, there was a lot that was going on with Henry Hudson and the establishment of the New York colony, New Amsterdam at that time. And some of the old buildings. So I went to Kingston High School in Kingston, New York. And in Kingston, there are still buildings, pre-revolutionary buildings that are available. Some are historic that you go in and look at. Some are have dentists in them and things like that.
Yeah, I know you're not an engineer, an architect, or anything like that. But looking at that. Because you were there for the first 40 years of your life or so in that area, how does a community kind of preserve? I mean, because you almost have to preserve that for the whole country, because
it has to be intentional. Because with progress, So
you
tear
down the house, and you're like, oh my.
Well, some of these things, they're built with 2-foot thick stone walls, and
it's going to take a lot to tear down.
It's
going
to take a lot to. But I think early on, it was kind of just assumed that there was such history in that area that historical societies and building preservation just was already on the books. It wasn't something that had to be legislated and figured out. It's there, especially like churches.
I've been there many years ago. I haven't been to Boston in that area, but my goodness, the churches, cathedrals.
Many of them from Revolution and pre-revolutionary times, still standing with a lot of history.
Wow.
Fortunately, most of them are empty on a Sunday morning, but that's...
Yeah,
that's another conversation. Kind of the dearth of faith in the Northeast
changed. Well, I think that's kind of a part of the whole, the Western world is that we've kind of moved away of really from that to more of the megachurch entertainment, big concert, more convenience, you know.
More consumeristic. Yeah. It appeals to that the glitzy kind of side of things in us.
Yeah, I think that, and sometimes even the more practical, because, you know, you think about the multi-use rooms and things like mm-hmm. that, which, again, I greatly mm-hmm. appreciate. But I also believe I really have a warm heart in for, you know, the preservation of the temple, of the cathedral, of mm-hmm. the sanctuary, of mm-hmm. that area where, you know, was so beautifully handmade. I mean, I even just think of the old churches that are, like you mentioned earlier, that were built around the 1800s here in mm-hmm. our community that are still around. Mm-hmm. And I think about the workmanship there,
yeah.
you know,
oh, yeah.
and how it was important because it's the church, you know.
Well, and consider that it's lasted this long.
Yeah.
And stood the test. Not that it, you know, those buildings are horrendous yes. to maintain and keep up. Oh, yeah. And
we have 1892, our church is 1892.
So. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you think about some of the others that are even older. But the history part and where you grew up, I mean, mm-hmm. I can't imagine being able to jump on a bus for
I probably took it for granted. But yeah, it was, you know, it was part of our educational system that you just learned the Revolution very significantly because of being so close to these places. And then, you know, going over, I can remember, I was thinking on the way in this morning, going over to visit family in Massachusetts, and my aunt actually said, you know, hey, we're going to get in the car, we're going to go to Lexington and Concord. And we're just going to walk around and look at the sights.
Shot was fired.
Yeah, well, we walked on the bridge, and then we're going to go out for ice cream and then go home. It wasn't that it had to be this big bus trip that you take, and it's a tour, and you look at it from a mile away. And being able to see some of the less well-known historical sites that, you know, the taverns and the meeting houses and some of those things that you don't read about or hear about. It's funny. So my folks moved up to Albany, New York at the end of their lifetime and lived up there and got to know some of the history of the Albany area. Mm. Quite a bit of history there that went on.
Oh, absolutely.
But we ate at the Tory House, which was the Tory Tavern, which was an old post office where the Tories would meet in secret. This is prior to the Revolution.
Wow.
Plotting
and planning.
Yeah, plotting and planning. And, you know, you when you're having dinner, it's all, they're serving actual food. It was neat to hear the library doing the
traditional.
Yeah, yeah. But the mutton and all that kind of stuff that you're eating. And then the staff that's serving you is also telling you, you know, you're sitting in the seat where so-and-so sat before he was hung for treason.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
Like that is
well, yeah, and, well, and I don't think people realize that it was that's the way of life, the way it mm-hmm. was. I mean, you were trying to mm-hmm. get away from the oppression of King George and England,
mm-hmm.
but yet you couldn't trust anybody even while you were here you never knew who they were. He had embedded into a group or whatever.
And I've always been amazed at how mixed the mindsets were prior to the Revolution, and should we, shouldn't we, and then the intrigue that went into that. And you read some of the, you know, you and I were talking the other day just about some of the letters you read, and you read John and Abigail Adams, their letters back and forth to each other, and how careful they had to be about what they said and where they said it.
And just the pure, tough life that they were mm-hmm. living. I mean, I think she had 5 miscarriages during that time where he is out trying to birth a country.
Mm-hmm.
She can't even give birth to a child. Mm. And I just... To me, that's just heart wrenching, mm-hmm. but yet it reminds me of the fortitude and the focus of this is the right thing to do.
Yeah. Oh, and I mean, Adams was torn
between,
you know, going to Philadelphia, because that's not like a day trip.
Yeah.
He went for months at a time.
By the way, folks, John and Sam Adams, which they were second cousins.
Right.
Those two, the Adams boys, are huge for America. I mean, really, you read about what John Adams sacrificed and what Sam Adams sacrificed to get to where we are today. It's amazing. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
And McCullough's book, David McCullough's book on John Adams is a must read for every American, I think.
Yeah.
So just to understand not only the history, because I think that, you know, growing up in that context in New York and New England, taking things for granted, it's like, oh yeah, that's where they shot the fire, you know, fired the shot that heard around the world.
Yeah.
What it took for those Minutemen to leave their home
and be ready
and to be ready and to stand there with this well-organized
army
facing them down. And I mean, it was, they were the premier armed force in the world
at that time.
Yep. It's mind-boggling to think about, you know, wow. What would that look like today?
What would it look like today? And I guess, too, you know, we didn't have all of the conveniences of today. So I don't think that it was hard life. It was just a hard life. The prairie life, the pioneer life, all of that was very it's hard.
Because I said it to you yesterday. Yeah. I couldn't be a pioneer woman.
No, we were talking about that. Yeah, I couldn't either. There's no way. I mean, I'm talking about, I couldn't be a I certainly couldn't be a pioneer man, but I couldn't be a pioneer woman.
No.
Although, even if I was a woman, some of the things that, you know, hey, you give birth and you're back out plowing in the field, you know, later in the day. So, but it is so to me important, and I appreciate Melissa and Russ allowing us to have this little series we're going to do up to the build up to July 4th on the 250th anniversary of America, the birthday coming up. Being able to explore and look back to your point where you took for granted that place you grew up in.
Yeah.
You know, we take for granted our freedom every
day. Yeah.
And our liberty.
And that's what's really struck me, you know, as we think about all that was endured in the birthing of this nation that we celebrate. And to trace that through the 250 years and see, we're living in the fruit of that now.
Right.
But are we taking that for granted?
Oh, yeah.
Especially to be more mindful.
Especially, and people would say, well, yeah, this is a democracy. Well, actually, no, we're a republic. If you really want to get down to it, we are a federal republic. And by the way, the word federal, if you look it up in Latin, is a covenant. It means a covenant.
Mm.
So, I mean, we've made a covenant to be a representative of the people government, we the people government, and it's been done before. The Hebrews did it in the 400-year stretch between, Exodus. That was the dark era.
Oh, I see.
I'm talking about from Moses. See, there was no kings from Moses until Samuel. Well, until Saul was the first king, but it was a Hebronic covenant that they basically guarded themselves. They held themselves accountable. And, it was judges.
Yep.
I mean, it was the judges period.
Different than what we think of in judges.
Yeah,
what judges are.
But we were being held accountable by our own
by the people,
consciousness
for the people.
That there's a God watching us.
Yeah,
and so our forefathers took that. You know, John Calvin is another perfect example. I mean, You know, people talk about the Calvinists, but John was a lot of his writings ended up being part of what we are today.
Well, he wanted to establish Geneva as the perfect society under the rule of God through the rule of human beings.
And that's something I want to take and dive deeper in as in these weeks ahead, is that, because I get asked this a lot. I don't get asked this a lot. I get in I get on, you know, talking to people online and bloggers and things, and the question always comes back: are we really truly a Christian nation? And I would say our values started with the Judeo-Christian principles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not too sure that we are a Christian nation today,
right.
But we are a Judeo.
That's undeniable.
Undeniable.
You cannot argue that.
And anybody that wants to argue, feel free. You can call me. Mm-hmm. I'll be glad to talk to you because it is the more you research and the more you dive deeper and the more you look at letters written. I mean, just the Thomas Jefferson Danbury Baptist letter, totally taken out of context.
Right, it separation of church and state. Yeah.
Says nothing in the Constitution about that.
Right.
It is a Danbury letter that was written to the Danbury Baptists about the Baptists that were being persecuted. They felt they were being persecuted. They felt like the government was diving a little bit too deep into the church, and they didn't want them in the body of the church, so they complained to Thomas Jefferson, and he writes the letter. You know what? You're probably right. Maybe we should just keep the government out of the church. It wasn't the other way around.
Right.
But we get that. I get so tired, and it's gaslighting it, you know, almost to a certain degree.
Well, and I think we read back onto that time of period mindsets and opinions and situations that we're in now.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. That's not fair history. Anywhere, anytime.
No.
You have to take history for what it was.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
That's it.
Absolutely. We had slavery.
Yeah.
Was that good? No, it wasn't good.
But oppression of women. It was there. It was real.
Yeah, it was, absolutely.
But that doesn't change the fact that in their time, the founders were operating, as you say, from a Judeo-Christian base of understanding of a worldview of who human beings were, how natural order is established, and
I always say this about America too: what other country abolished slavery?
Mm.
I mean, if we didn't have Judeo-Christian, because people say, "Oh, well, America was horrible and it was birthed in this evil and racism and systematic," then tell me, as we grew, as we evolved, would we get what? If that was the case, why would we have gotten more evil? Now, I'm not saying we haven't, in the sense of we've lost our God. We've lost our moral standards, I think. We've lost the true compass of what morality is according to Scripture. That's my opinion. Some people would say, oh, wow. But if you go back to Judges, I believe it's Judges 17, where it is written that every man, they were doing right or wrong in their own eyes.
Right, right.
And
it got individualistic and experiential. What do I feel, or what do I want?
So what? And we think about this on this level. Let's just say today that 35 people, I'll just throw a random number out there, but say 35 people in our community decided, you know what, stop signs are they're not really relevant. And you know what, I don't necessarily need to stop at a stop sign. Who's telling me to stop at a stop sign? I feel it's okay if I want to run a stop sign. I'm okay. But the rest of the, 33,489 people are obeying the law.
Mm-hmm.
And you got 35 people out there running around that's running stop signs. You're going to have an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be something very serious, and you might even have a death out of it. And I think that's what happens when we start taking we look at our own conscience and we just look at our own life, and we say, I want to live my life regardless of whatever the rules. But just imagine if we just ignored the law and ignored, where would we be?
Well, we'd be where we are, right?
Well,
in a mess.
Very, very much a mess right now. Tom, I appreciate you coming in today. Your history, your area of the country that you grew up is our history. I mean, it is the birthplace of America. I mean, it all started there on that eastern, and then, of course, the 13 colonies.
Yeah.
And then I also want to remind people that 9 of the 13 colonies are the states that became states. 9 of them in their constitution stated that you had to be a born-again Christian before you could take any public office.
Mm.
That was in their state constitution.
Mm.
So I think sometimes we forget where we did come from, and that's kind of what we want to do as we talk about America and moving forward. Looking at celebrating on the 4th of July, which is on a Saturday this year, as we celebrate the 4th of July, really this whole year we should be celebrating, and really every day.
We should be celebrating
yeah. the liberty that we have.
Yeah.
Because I always remind people as we close off today, and Tom, thanks again for coming. I appreciate you today, man. I always do. I just want to remind people as we close today, they're not lining up in China to get into China. They're not lining up in Russia to get into Russia. They're not beating the border down in Liberia. They're not beating the border down in Vietnam. You know who's are beating the border down? They're beating the border down here in the good old U.S. of America because we believe in liberty and freedom, and people are chasing it. The heart wants freedom, and that's what God has given us. And he gave us this country, I think, as a shining example of his grace and his mercy and his freedom, his free moral agency for us as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that with all my heart. And we are that shining star. Whether you agree with me or disagree, that's okay. It's America. You have that choice. You can do that.
That's the very thing we're celebrating
today on the air. Yeah. Okay, I'm already over time, and I'm going to get in trouble. So today, sunny with a high near 77. Tonight, low of 52. Tomorrow, we're going to be back at 79. And buckle up, folks. It's going to get warmer the rest of the week. That's going to wrap it up for me. Good Lord willing, I'll be back with you Thursday. We'll talk more about America coming up on Thursday edition, and we'll have more guests as well. Until then, hey, stay obedient and be courageous. We'll talk to you soon.